reading from Psalm 140, verse 13, and Psalm 75, verse 1. The righteous praise your name and they live in your presence. That's Psalm 140, verse 13, and Psalm 75, verse 1. God, we praise you and thank you because you are near. Psalm 75, verse 1. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Yesterday, we launched into a new series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, Shaping Your Future Self. Yesterday, today, and next Tuesday, we're looking at part one, How Praising God Changes Every Situation, The Awesome Power of Praise. Yesterday, we learned about praising God and how it'll lift your spirit. Today, we'll be looking at praising God helps you sense his presence. Praising God enlarges your perception of him. And praising God reveals solutions you can't see. Get ready to be blessed and praise the Lord. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
If you're feeling a little down, a little depressed, a little tired, a little empty, and you're feeling a little discouraged, I recommend to you Psalm 42. It's there on your outline. Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6 says this. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so troubled and upset? Instead, I will put my hope, remember the world's looking for hope? I will put my hope in God, and I will praise him once again as my Savior and my God. And when my heart is breaking, maybe your heart's breaking right now, I remember your kindness. Now, if you're taking notes, circle three words in that passage. Hope, praise, and remember. Because those three go together. If you want hope in your life, you want to be a hopeful person, you got to do the other two. Praise and remember. When you praise and remember, it builds hope in your life. Now, when you praise God, here's what God offers to you. It's the next verse in your outline, Isaiah 61. It says, to all who mourn in Israel. I mean, what's mourning? It's grief when you lost something. You lost a lot the last couple of years because of COVID and other things. There are things that you lost out on this year, past year, and the year before that. To all who mourn in Israel, he gives beauty for ashes, joy instead of sadness, and praise instead of despair. God gives you a choice. What do you want? Beauty or ashes? You know, praise instead of despair? Joy instead of sadness? Now, we're going to start with a song of hope. It's actually called Living Hope. And if you're going to sing it, or if you're going to read it aloud as your praise, let me show you how to read it aloud. Don't just read it in your mind. Say the words aloud, but say it expressively. Okay, put it on the screen. Here's some of the words of the song we're about to sing. Who could imagine so great a mercy? You think about that. Who could imagine so great a mercy? God's mercy to me. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? God's grace to me. You're thinking about this. The God of ages stepped down from glory, that's Christmas, to wear my sin and bear my shame. Whoa. The cross is spoken. I'm forgiven, completely forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, you're my living hope. That's how you sing it, or that's how you read it aloud. Okay? Now, there's another benefit. This is just a little one. We're going to get to the heavyweight ones in a minute. But this is another benefit of developing the habit of praise in your life. And it says, write this down. Praising God helps me sense his presence. Praising God helps me sense God's presence. Now, notice I said sense, because God is always present with you, whether you feel it or not. God is always with you. There's never been one second of your life that God was not with you and paying attention to you. But I don't always feel it, and neither do you. And sometimes I feel like God's a million miles away. He's not. God says, I am always with you, I'm always near you, I'm always close with you, but I don't always feel God's presence. And I want to feel God's presence. What do you do when you want to feel God's presence? What should you do? what you're doing right now. First place, get together with some other people and praise God with your whole heart. I guarantee you, by the end of this service, you will be feeling God's presence. I guarantee it. Because when you get in a point of praise, praise makes God's presence more real to me than when I don't feel him at all. But God says you got to do it with your whole heart. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Rick. How do I praise God with my whole heart when I don't feel like praising God right now? In fact, I don't feel very good right now. I just kind of forced myself to come to church. And I wasn't really in the mood. I'm kind of tired. How do I praise God when I don't feel like it? Here's the answer. You do it anyway. Now, you've heard me say this before. I've taught it to you many times. It's easier to act your way into a feeling than feel your way into an action. If you wait for a certain feeling to come before you do something, that feeling will often never come. But if you act your way into the feeling, you act it, even though you don't feel like it, the feelings always follow actions. Now, this is true in every area of your life. If you don't feel close to your wife or your husband right now, or your boyfriend or girlfriend, you feel a little estranged from them right now, what do? You start acting in a more loving way, and the feelings will return. When a guy comes to me and says, you know, Rick, I'm leaving my wife. Why? Well, I just don't love her anymore. Well, it's your choice. Love is a choice. Don't blame anybody else. You choose to love and you choose not to love. So if you're not loving your wife right now, it's because you're choosing not to love her. It's your choice. Accept the responsibility, buddy. It's not like you don't have any control over it. Love is a choice. If you want your wife to treat you like a king, treat her like a queen. Let me give you a little experiment. Next 10 days, act like you're in love with your wife. Date your mate. Do all the things that you did when you first started dating, like open the door for her. Treat her with respect. And guess what? The feelings will return because feelings always follow actions. Now, that's true in every area of life. It's also true in praising God. When I don't feel like praising God, that's usually when I need to praise him. What I've discovered, if the only time I ever pray is when I feel like it, the devil makes sure I never feel like it. And if the only time I praise God is when I feel like it, the devil makes sure I never feel like it. Maturity is when you act on what is the right thing to do, whether you feel it or not. Immature people live by their feelings. I don't feel like doing it, so I don't do it. That's about babies can do that. Little kids live 100% by their feelings. But when you grow up, you do the right thing because you do it out of love, not out of feeling. Those of you who are moms, you remember when your babies were small and you had to get up multiple times in the night to go either nurse them or give them a bottle. Did you ever feel like doing that? No, but you did it because you loved that baby. And as you nursed that baby or you gave that baby the bottle, the love returned. And the feeling as you held that little one and as you cared for that one, the feelings followed your actions. Now, the same is true in praise. There are many times I don't feel like praising God. That's when I need it the most. That's when I need it because my mood is frozen. This is the mark of maturity. Psalm 140, verse 13, on the screen or on your outline. The righteous praise your name and they live in your presence. Now, you're in God's presence all the time. What does it mean to live in your presence? They recognize it. They feel it. They sense it. They know it. If you want to feel God's presence in your life, just praise him more. Because praise and presence go together. Psalm 75, verse 1 says this, God, we praise you and we thank you because you are near. We don't praise you and thank you to get you near. We praise you because you are near. God is never not near. You're just not tuned into him. So a second, one of the smaller benefits, but it's a big one, is that when I praise God, all of a sudden I start feeling his presence. All right, let me give you a third one. Here's a third benefit of praise. Praising God enlarges my perception of him. Praising God makes God bigger in my eyes. Praising God enlarges my perception of him. Now, I'll explain why that's a big deal in just a minute. But in Psalm 69, verse 30, it says this, I will praise the name of the Lord, praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Circle the word magnify. Magnify is praise, to do the same. Now, I've got up here, I've got a little magnifying glass. When I take a magnifying glass and I look through, what does a magnifying glass do? It makes things bigger, bigger. When I magnify God, God gets bigger in my eyes. Now, why is that a big deal? I want you to write this down. When God gets larger in my life, my problems shrink. When God gets larger in my life, my problems get smaller. Now, the opposite is true, too. When I look at my problems and my problems get really big, then God gets small in my life. One thing is going to be big in your life, either your problems or God. When you praise God, you focus on God, you magnify him. That makes him bigger. The bigger God gets in your life, the less worried you're about your problems. This is nothing for God. God can handle this. This is nothing. My problems shrink inside because God is so much bigger than my problems. And so that's one of the benefits. Worship and praise and magnify God are the same thing. That's why we often call our worship team at Saddleback our magnification team, because it's their job to magnify God, to make him bigger in all of our eyes. Now, Psalm 145, verse 3 says this, "The Lord is great." Okay, he's big, he's great. "And the Lord is worthy of our highest praise because his greatness is beyond understanding." I can't ever know or understand how big and great God really is. You can't either. I've said this many times. It's like an ant trying to understand the internet. You don't have the brain capacity to understand how big God is. If you could completely understand God, you'd be God. You're not. I'm not. God's God, and we're not. But when we praise God and we sing to God in a song, God gets bigger, our problems get smaller. So whatever problem that's got you scared right now, got you intimidated, got you worried, got you fearful, the antidote is to sing about the greatness of God. Because the bigger I see God, my problems shrink in the sight. Now, a praise song, a lot of people think a praise song has to be fast. Like hippy skippy, happy yappy, clappy, you know, dance around. Yeah, there are good praise songs. You got to dance to them. They got a beat, okay? And the Bible says you can dance before the Lord, okay? But a praise song can be fast, or a praise song can be slow. It can be very slow, and we're singing it very slow, word for word. Either way, a praise song focuses on some attribute of God. God's goodness, God's greatness, God's love, God's mercy, God's holiness, which means I'm not at all like him. He's totally different than me. He's perfect. God's perfection. And our worship team a while back wrote a song about God's greatness. It's called Alive and Well. And the chorus goes like this. But I'm gonna say a chorus to you. The chorus says this. All things are possible. I think about that. That means the problem I've got, it's no big deal with God. All things are possible. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you. Now, let's go to some more. We're going to get into some more of the heavyweight benefits. But here's a big one, number four. Praising God reveals solutions I can't see. Praising God is the way you see things that you can't see any other way. It reveals solutions to problems you have in your life. You know that you have things that you just can't figure out. They're like the Gordian knot. You can't untie them. And you go, I don't know how to fix this relationship. I don't know how to fix my chronic health problem. I don't know how to fix the economy. I don't know how to fix my finances. I don't know how to, there's all kinds of things in your life that seem to be intractable problems. They're so complex, so convoluted, and you've had them so long. You wonder, am I ever going to get a solution to this? And you've thought and you've thought and you've tried, and year after year, well, I still haven't figured out the answer to that. What do you do when you have a problem you can't figure out? You praise God. You praise God. And in praise, God will give you an answer you will never come up with on your own. Psalm 73 is an example of this. Psalm 73, 16 and 17. David said this, I tried to understand all that was happening to me. you've done this many times, trying to figure out, why is this happening to me? What's going on in my life? Why am I stuck here? Okay, I tried to figure out what is happening to me, but it was too difficult to figure out until I went into the sanctuary of God. What do you do in the sanctuary of God? You come. It means it's a metaphor for coming into the presence of God. It means coming into the presence of God with praise. What do you do in the sanctuary? You thank God, you praise God, you worship God in the sanctuary. He says, it wasn't until I started worshiping and praising and thanking that all of a sudden, bam, the idea came. I wish I had time to give you 1,000 examples from my life as a leader when I had no idea what to do next in the direction, whether I was leading Saddleback or leading a movement or coaching and counseling a world leader in 165 different nations that I've been in. Dealing with businessmen, or talking to Congress, or talking to the United Nations, which I have, or dealing with parliaments of other nations, which I have. And sometimes people will ask me questions, I go, I haven't the slightest idea what's the answer to that. I don't know how to solve that problem. But in my worship time, in my praise time, as I'm thanking God for who he is and what he's done, and I'm thanking God and I'm praising God, bingo, the Holy Spirit drops that idea into my brain. And I go, that's the billion-dollar idea that I was looking for. That's the entrepreneurial key. That's the big creative idea. The best way to be creative in your business is to get in touch with the creator of the universe. Nobody's more creative than God. If you want creative ideas, worship, praise, thank God. The more you're in tune with the creator, the more creative you will be. David goes, I couldn't figure out the problem until I went into the sanctuary. He said, great. How do I get into God's sanctuary? How do I get into God's presence? Next verse, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courtyards with praise. The doorway to creativity is praise and thanksgiving. You want to be a creative leader? You want to be a creative business owner? You want to be a creative mom? Creative dad, creative teacher, creative artist, creative musician, come into the presence of God. The creator will give you creative ideas. That's a big benefit. You're going to have problems you'll never solve on your own. Why? Because God wants you to connect with him. And when you connect with the creator in praise, those ideas, I can't tell you how many brilliant ideas I would have never come up with, but in a moment of me just thanking God and praising God, whether in a crowd or by myself, the Holy Spirit goes, Rick, here's what you need to do. Boom. And that inspiration is genius. And it's not my genius. It's the genius of the creator of the universe. You know, we sing a song here at Saddleback called Promises. And it's a song about trusting God when you don't understand the situation, when you've got an impossible problem. And it's a song about praising God for his faithfulness when we can't see the future. The fact is, we don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow, okay? Let me show you again how to praise God just by reading. Here's a part of that song. It goes like this. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant. That means you make promises and faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven that you do just what you said. All right. Now, these last three are really important, the last two particularly, but here's a big one. Number five, a big benefit when you develop the habit of praise. Praising God helps me remember his blessing. Now, I'm going to explain why this is really important in just a minute. But praising God helps you remember the blessings of God. Why? Have you noticed that when you're going through a tough time, and you may be going through one right now, when you've got a big overwhelming problem in your life, a big pain, a big hurt, you know, something going on in your life, you tend to overlook all the good in your life and you can only see the bad. You know what I'm talking about? You get imbalanced. When you got a big problem in your life, all you can think about is the problem. You can't think about smelling the roses and enjoying life and it's beautiful out time today. All you can see is your problem. Anytime I have a fight with my wife, Kay, the whole world smells like Limburger cheese. It just stinks. Because you know what I'm talking about. If you got a relationship that really matters to you and it gets out of whack, everything else sucks. Okay? Nothing else is good. If you're out of whack with the person you love the most, It just messes up everything else. And what happens is in your problems, you tend to get imbalanced. And what praise does is it rebalances you. Praise corrects the imbalance in your life. Praise reminds you that not everything is bad in your life. Let me give you an example of this. In Psalm 105, the first five verses, the psalmist had been going through some really tough times, and so the person who wrote this decides to enumerate the things they can thank God for and praise God for. They're going through a very tough time, and Psalm 105 says this, "Praise the Lord. I tell myself with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name." I tell myself, I'm talking to me, like you don't do this, you talk to yourself all the time. "Praise the Lord," I tell myself, and I remember all the good things he does for me. He forgives my sin. He starts listening, just a few of them. He forgives my sins. That's a big one. He heals my illnesses. He saves my life. He surrounds me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. Now, why is it important to remember God's blessing? Well, there's a couple reasons.
Those reasons will be disclosed on Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, so I hope you can tune in again. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or can't tune in next Tuesday for this conclusion of Part 1, Shaping Your Future Self, How Praising God Changes Everything, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen to the program under the Mark and Friends tab. On Tuesday, we'll be looking at Praising God Reminds Me of His Blessings, Praising God Enlists God's Protection, and Praising God Frees Me and Opens Doors. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast when we launched into this new series, we covered Praising God Lifts My Spirit, and today we looked at Praising God Helps Me Sense His Presence, Praising God Enlarges My Perception of Him, and Praising God Reveals Solutions I Can't See. Oh, this is going to be a great series, and it'll run about 5 or 6 more weeks on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I hope you can tune in. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.